Big news, Prime Minister Viktor Orban wins again in Hungary. But is this a victory for pro-family patriots? Or is a new Adolf Hitler rising? President Zelensky goes over huge at the Grammys this year, and Pope Francis pulls out all the stops for the modern city of Bucha, World War III's Pearl Harbor. And finally, G.K. Chesterton defined it 100 years ago, but what is the current thing? And is it something to be feared?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt, and this is The Remnant Underground. Don't forget, next week, Easter Sunday, we will not be shooting an underground down on Easter Sunday. We will be with family, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. So I wish you all a miserable Lent, and a miserable Holy Week, I should say, and a joyous and glorious Easter next week, but you'll have to do it without me because we're taking the next week off. So look for us 2 weeks from today, the week following Easter Sunday. We'll be back to our usual schedule. Today, I think this is appropriate, tonight's topic, as we go into Holy Week now. I want to talk about this thing, you see over my shoulder here, the current thing, whether it's COVID or war in Ukraine or whatever it is. The thing in the moment is you need to support that, you need to stick with that, you got to follow that, and if you don't, well, the mob is going to come after you. So I think it's important for all of us, because there's been a lot of disagreement, even among us, over some things, over Ukraine, over Russia, over Putin. Very frustrating that the discussion of what's happening in Ukraine must boil down to, if you're asking any questions, which we're going to talk about here in a few moments, you're just a Putin lover, you're just, you know, you're defending the indefensible, you don't get it, there are people dying over there. We understand that. We've been doing these shows on Ukraine now for 6 weeks or whatever it is. The plight of the Ukrainians, the folks that are dying over there, our hearts go out to them. We pray for them. It's horrific. War is horrific. But we can't let those images sort of prevent us from looking at why this is happening. Because if we don't understand why this is happening and what's really going on, it's going to continue to happen. So in any questions that we ask about why this is happening, it obviously takes into account that we care and we pray and when our hearts go out to those who are suffering in war in Ukraine. We just don't want it to expand to other countries. And there are many powerful neocon, Democrat, and Republican folks who want it to expand. And they're using the images of dead Ukrainians to make that happen. We're going to talk about that tonight. But we're going to talk about in the context of the current thing, how it becomes so difficult to raise any questions, ask any questions, without being immediately attacked by the mob. A stereotype, a straw man is set up, you're a Putin lover, that's it, shut up! Well, we've seen this before. You know, they did that to black folks in the South, didn't they? They can't drink from certain drinking fountains, they can't watch movies from theaters, regular seating, they gotta go up into the balcony, right? Don't ask any questions, because if you did, well, you know what you were at that point.
You nigger lover.
No need to be afraid of him, son. He's all bluff.
So what is this? What is this current thing? How do you define it? I actually think that the great Gilbert Keith Chesterton did a pretty good job in his Everlasting Man defining the current thing when he noted that, of course, I'm paraphrasing, but he said dead things go with the stream while only living things can go against it. Streams have currents, don't they? Going with the current thing is what we're all expected to do right now. So if you find yourself tonight, today, lately, asking questions and going against the current thing and being attacked by friends and family, know this, you're probably in a pretty good place. You're using your God-given gifts. You're using your brain. You're alive. You know something's wrong. And so you're kicking and struggling against the current. You're going upstream. You know, and that's the thing. When you reach a point where there is no room for dissent, and when asking questions gets people in trouble like that, you gotta realize that you're heading into dangerous waters. You know, we've seen it before, right? Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions about those cattle cars full of Jews. What are you, a Jew lover? You see? That's how it works. That's how it's worked for time and again. Go back to the French Revolution. What, do you like aristocrats? Don't question why the Carmelite nuns just got beheaded. Don't ask questions. We're not asking questions. Why are you? You see? And now we're to the point when it comes to Ukraine. Don't ask questions about Ukraine. What are you, Putin lover? You see? It's the same thing. I'm shocked that the critics of this show don't see in themselves those voices, those angry voices of history, which did so much to enable revolutions by telling everyone around them not to ask questions. So on this show, down here in the underground, we're asking questions too. And obviously most in this audience appreciate those questions. Some 100,000 of you per week are watching and going over those questions with me. We're doing it together because we know if someone doesn't tap the brakes here when it comes to this Ukraine situation, we could easily end up with World War III. All of Europe, once again, blown to hell, just like Wilson and company did in World War I once before. Do you want to see that happen? Or do you want to ask a few questions, tough questions? Like, what's going on in Ukraine? As we showed you so many times over the past month, what Senators Lindsey Graham and John McCain and guys like that, what was Barack Obama, what were they doing over there in 2014?
I'm Senator John McCain, and it's always a pleasure to be back in Ukraine.
Senator McCain was, in a sense, giving the people in the Maidan a feeling that they had the backing of the most powerful country on earth.
This is about the future you want for your country. This is about the future you deserve.
It's a very simple question. How did they create this nightmare that's happening for the Ukrainian people and for everybody else? How did they provoke this guy? You want to call him a dictator? Well, then why did they provoke him? Why did they provoke him into this? What's really going on?
I set up a foundation in Ukraine before Ukraine became independent of Russia. And the foundation has been functioning ever since.
As soon as you ask these questions, you're KGB! You're a Putin lover! You know? And that doesn't make any sense. Those of you who say that about me or about Vegan, they say we're Putin lovers and we need to brush up on our KGB. Are you not done with the KGB stuff? What's it been, 30 years? And we're still like, KGB, it's KGB! And I think it's because these people just like the sound of KGB coming out of their mouths. It just makes them feel like, got a little more info than you do, guy. Okay, KGB. I'm in the know. In any case, not everything is KGB. And you're not a Putin lover if you're just asking some of these questions. But if that's the way you feel about us, if you want to attack and shut us down, what's the problem? The whole world right now is on your side. Well, how much affirmation do you need? Why do you care if Michael Matt sitting in his little underground is asking a few questions? Really, seriously, guys, why are you so ticked off? Because that kind of gives something away about this whole thing that's going on right now. Why are you so angry when everyone agrees with you? You know? We don't have the bully pulpits on our side asking questions. You do. Heck, President Zelensky was at the Grammys the other night.
Our musicians wear body armor. Instead of tuxedo, they sing to the wounded in hospitals, even to those who can't hear them, but the music will break through anyway. We defend our freedom to live, to love, to sound. On our land, we are fighting Russia, which brings horrible silence with its bombs, the dead silence. Feel the silence with your music. Feel it today to tell our story.
There you go. You got the Grammys, you got Hollywood, you got the White House, you got CNN, you got Fox, you got everybody. And yet when little old me asks a few questions, I get, how dare you suggest there might be two sides to the Ukraine thing? How dare you? Do you want to just see Ukrainians dead? You Putin lover? Stick to religion, Michael Matt. I'm actually getting this. It's almost embarrassing. What are you talking about? It's awkward for you. And if you must know, if we need to go there, I majored in political science, not theology, okay? I interned on Capitol Hill, not the Palatine Hill. I'm not particularly interested in Fiddleback versus Rome investments. I don't know much about that sort of thing, you know? And my grandfather, his newspaper, The Wanderer, Der Wanderer, before the war, It was banned by the Nazis. You could not mail it into Germany. The Wander, my grandfather's newspaper, banned by the Nazis. And it was also condemned by name in the pages of Pravda 10 years later in the 1950s. And guess what? It wasn't because my grandfather was waxing rhapsodic about the seventh castle of the spiritual life, if you know what I mean. He was a Catholic newspaper guy, up to his neck in the politics of the day, based on the social kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see? Very political. And this is part of the problem now. Keep religion out of politics, man. Throw up that wall of separation. Even a lot of us have bought into that nonsense. Which, of course, the church under Pius X condemned the idea of separation of church and state. We can't opt out of politics. In fact, it seems to me, Catholics living right now, especially, all Christians especially, have an obligation before God and before history to ask probing questions right now as this new and godless and Christophobic world order rises up out of the ashes. We have got to ask questions because no one else is. You know, stay out of politics. Just do your prayers. Say prayers and obey. Pray and obey. Where did this come from? We tell the stories of Catholic heroes all the time, whether it's the Vandeans, the Cristeros. Yeah, they said their prayers in the morning, and then they went to war. And then they got busy in politics. Don John of Austria, he didn't just stay home and pray his rosary, right? He led the Holy League into the Bay of Lepanto and struck a glorious victory for Christendom. Pretty political. We got to do the same type of thing. And it starts by asking questions. Where are the followers of Christ on these issues? I'll tell you what, if you're taking your direction from CNN and Fox News, you're on the wrong side here. You're not thinking independently. You're like Chesterton's dead thing floating down the stream, going with the current. You're going to get that here on this show. I can't do that. You don't want me to do that. You don't do that. That's why you're asking questions yourselves. You see? Shut up, Michael Matt. You don't care about dead Ukrainians. You're not buying that, right? That's just the last refuge of unimaginative people that don't have a retort. They don't have anything else to say. So they accuse you of heinous things, that like not caring about dead babies. Well, the left has been doing that forever. You know, don't talk about abortion. Don't you care about women? What about women's rights over her own body? You are cold and heartless when you're trying to defend the babies, or the, you know, the unborn babies. That's sort of a standard tact of the left. And besides that, how many times have we seen it happen like this? It's terrifying when it happens. Again, my own grandfather sued the actor Orson Welles because Welles had accused my grandfather of being un-American, even though his own son, my father, was in the European theater fighting Hitler's armies at that time. But you see, he was German. You see how it works? Terrifying stuff. People get hurt. People die. And people are haunted for the rest of their lives for having been supporting the current thing to the detriment of their neighbors, friends, family. You know? You remember, this was back when they were locking up Japanese Americans for the crime of being, well, Japanese.
This one is from Manznam. And these two are from Topaz.
After Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor, the U.S. government set up 10 internment camps across the West. They detained over 100,000 Japanese Americans perceived as a threat to the war effort. Half of those detained were children.
We almost saw it with COVID, didn't we? You question the COVID narrative, you question the jabs, you might go to jail. You might have to be silenced. You certainly will be silenced by big tech, right? We saw that. We just learned that for 2 years. Now the same thing's happening right now. You don't get to ask questions about Ukraine. And sooner or later, somebody's going to report you to the new Gestapo. That's where this is heading. It always does. And all you need to know, they tell us on the TV, is that Putin is invading Ukraine to kill women and children. Remember, we talked about that a month ago. That's all you need to know. Put that in your brain. He's a psycho. He's insane. Don't ask questions about this guy. He's nuts. He just wants to kill women and kill children. Don't ask why. The guys on TV, they know best. Let them decide. Let them do our thinking for us. And the problem is, we're in the middle of war right now. War is hell. Horrible things are happening. Oh my gosh, it's easy for them. Set cameras up, put some dramatic music on, show a blown up apartment building. Who's responsible for this? It must stop now. There's dead people in the streets of Kyiv, right? It's so easy to manipulate emotions right now. And that's what they're doing. And it's a horrific thing happening. It's war over there. And the problem, friends, where it really, really gets urgent, they're using all of that. This is Wag the Dog, the most powerful propaganda machine in the world, every single day, every single night. Because what the power elite want now is another war, a world war from which they can build back better. And sooner or later, in this push for a war, you can feel it getting closer all the time. The American people do not want this war. They don't want it expanding. But at some point, friends, here's a prophecy for you. Here's a prediction. At some point, these globalists, these hawks, these Democrats and Republicans, these neocons, are going to find their Pearl Harbor moment over there. And then there won't be stop. There will be no stopping any of this. And it's going to be hard to see. They already have one going right now.
Сотні вбитих людей. Закатованих, розстріляних, мирних людей. Тіла на вулицях, замінована територія. Російські матері, навіть якщо ви розстріляли мародерів, то як вони стали ще й палачами? Ви не могли не знати, що внутрі у ваших дітей. Ви не могли не заметити, що вони лишені всього чоловічого. Нет душі, нет серця. Вони вбивали сознательно.
They are in the middle of a war over there. There has been no investigation of the bloody incident in Bucha. That's just the facts. It could be the Azov battalion. Maybe they did do it. Maybe they did. It could be the Russian soldiers did it. Because in war, sometimes soldiers do horrible things when they snap. And there's been a civil war going on over there for a long, long time. Did they snap and do something atrocious? It's entirely possible. I'm not denying it. But, you should know, even the Pentagon is calling for an investigation of this incident. And the Russian government has repeatedly denied that their soldiers had anything to do with it. And Putin has called for full impartial investigation because he denies it having anything to do with it. Is he lying? Maybe. But we need to find out. We can't let this turn into the Pearl Harbor moment or anything like it. The truth is, we just don't know what happened. And when I was in police academy 100 years ago, it was drilled into our heads. You never, ever make assumptions about a crime scene before the investigation. And it might look one way and turn out to be something else completely. So now why is it that Fox News, CNN, even Pope Francis, they're not waiting for the investigation. They're just rushing to judge.
Questa bandiera viene dalla guerra, proprio da quella città martoriata, Bucha. E anche ci sono qui alcuni bambini ucraini che ci accompagnano. Salutiamoli e preghiamo insieme con loro.
Now, you know what that flag is, by the way. It's not the Ukrainian flag. That's the flag of the Ukrainian combat unit. the 4th Cossack Company of Maidan, where the bloody revolution, by the way, of 2014 took place. That's what that flag is. So I wonder who it was that thought, let's rush this flag over to the Vatican, let's put it in the Pope's hands, and let's have him wave that thing all around and push this effort. I wonder who that was, because doesn't it seem kind of weird? Bring it all the way over and let the Pope do the PR for the next stage of this thing? Again, this, to me, this seems like Wag the Dog on steroids. And again, just as he did with COVID and everything else, Pope Francis is leading the globalist charge. He wants this to go in a certain direction. And you know what it is, of course. They want Russia out of the way of their new world order. That's what this is. You know that's what's going on here. And the more that Vladimir Putin disrupts everything that's going on over there, the harder it is for them to reset the world. The harder it is to lock us all down again. Yes, he's just disrupting it right now, which is part of the reason I'm more patient than others, because I think if the devil himself were disrupting this new world order, I would probably be patient and see what happens, just for the sake of the disruption. Shut up, Michael Matt, you're a Putin lover! Putin may well be a dictator, friends. I don't know. I don't really care one way or another. I don't know. I'm not a Putin expert. I don't need him to be a good guy or a bad guy. I do not need him to be Charlemagne. But that's irrelevant. That's how I see it. It doesn't matter. What do I know? The point is, what we know for a fact is that there are two sides to this. And we're not being allowed to consider the one side. We're only getting a very prepackaged version of it. It's Adolf Hitler. You know? And the present Ukrainian government, this is another fact that we know, the present Ukrainian government, of which Zelensky is now the head, is a Barack Obama project from the start. It always has been. And it was set up to provoke Russia. So if you want to get angry at somebody, get angry at Obama. Get angry at the neocons. Lindsey Graham, for example.
Your fight is our fight.
Ваша боротьба – це наша боротьба.
2017 will be the year of offense.
Рік, 2017 рік буде ріком нападу.
All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia.
Ми всі повернемося до Вашингтону і ми будемо відстоювати санкції проти Росії.
What were they doing this for? Why are they disrupting everything in Europe? What's their game? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? And by the way, you can cut the Ukrainian corruption, as we've seen for the past 5 years, you can cut the corruption in Ukraine with a knife. And a fantastic example, don't take my word for it. Once again, 2016, the Ukrainian prosecutor, General Viktor Shokin, was investigating one Hunter Biden, Barack Obama's vice president, not wanting his son exposed, right? He went on TV and bragged about getting the Ukrainian prosecutor fired.
And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference, said, nah, I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority, you're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid.
Makes your head spin. What the heck was going on? But you're telling me you know exactly what happened in Bucha, Ukraine, last week, right? You saw it on TV. You get my meaning? We don't know what's going on over there, but what we do know is the corruption is out of control. When you saw Joe Biden bragging about that, that's almost the end. There's no more discussion is needed. You can clearly see the extent of the corruption and that we cannot trust what we're being told on TV about Ukraine, about the war, about Russia, about anything else. And the propaganda simply never stops. I'm going to close on this. When you think how it works, and see exactly how it works, we're going to watch one in real time moving forward right now. Because they need another Hitler. In fact, they need several Hitlers to get us into this World War III. And they're working hard at it. I'm talking about Viktor Orban, Hungary's prime minister, who won a landslide fourth term last week. You may not have heard anything about it, because I think they're so embarrassed by that victory. Or if you heard anything, you would have heard that Adolf Hitler got a fourth term, right? Because that's how it's being painted. A new Hitler, you know, against the whole Soros crime syndicate, somehow Viktor Orban managed to win.
What's your problem with George Soros? Tell me what's your problem with him.
Well, we face here an international speculant who's earning lots of money, and that money is being spent around the globe for obvious purposes. Most of these purposes are being interpreted and, again, camouflaged as philanthropic goals and aims. But we all know that money always talks. He's got a vision about the working of the world, open society, and other philosophical concepts. And very definitely, he's got a plan. He's got a vision about the future of Europe if it's about migration. And we fully disagree.
And see, now Viktor Orban has won, which is a major embarrassment to them because they poured everything into taking him down just like they did against Trump. And so now we're going to hear the same thing over and over again. Viktor Orban is a fascist thug who threatens the very lifeblood of Europe.
A longtime Putin ally just cruised to re-election. Hungary's authoritarian leader, Viktor Orban, won the country's parliamentary elections, clinching a fourth consecutive term.
And to his credit, Tucker Carlson actually dared to go over to Hungary and ask a few questions of Mr. Orban. And now, according to the media, well, Tucker Carlson might as well have interviewed Adolf Hitler a couple of weeks ago.
Conservative pundit and Fox News host Tucker Carlson has spent this week broadcasting his primetime show from a curious location, Hungary, a country that stands as the modern-day example of how a democracy becomes an authoritarian, white supremacist, fascist regime.
That interview, by the way, I think it's on Fox Nation, isn't it? I think so. I highly recommend it. You got to watch the whole thing before you jump into the current thing regarding Viktor Orban, that he's an authoritarian psycho who must be stopped, because you know that's not true. But I wanted to, as it happens and as it unfolds in real time, to show you they're going to bring the same apparatus now that they did against Trump and Putin and anybody else they don't like, Salvini in Italy. Now they're just going to hook it up and apply it to Viktor Orban in little Hungary, one of the few countries that's hanging on to its own identity as a European nation, by the way.
When the President of the United States describes you as a totalitarian thug, which is a very serious thing to say about somebody, I would note, I mean, that suggests that, you know, why wouldn't the Biden State Department work to prevent you from being reelected?
I think sooner or later the Americans will realize that issues in Hungary must be decided by the Hungarians.
And I think you know why they hate this man. You know why Viktor Orban must be a psycho. It's because he's swimming upstream in Europe. He's going against the current. It's because he banned adoption for same-sex couples some years ago. It's because he believes in marriage between one man and one woman. In fact, he legally defined a family according to the traditional Christian views of marriage. Be careful before you jump on the bandwagon that this guy is Adolf Hitler. And you're going to hear all sorts of scary stuff. You know how evil this guy is, doing evil things like defining marriage as a Christian institution, the nucleus of society between one man and one woman. That's what they're talking about when they call him this dictator thug now. And he's the guy that in the preamble to the Hungarian Constitution of 2011 states that Hungary is, quote, proud that our king, Saint Stephen, built the Hungarian state on solid ground and made our country a part of Christian Europe 1,000 years ago. Viktor Orban's the one that also in that constitution says Hungary, quote, recognizes the role of Christianity in preserving nationhood. You see what you're seeing here? You're seeing the last vestiges of Christendom being defended by one tiny little country in Eastern Europe. And the whole world has turned on him like a pack of bloodhounds. He's evil. Fascist. This is why I'm pleading with you. Please don't believe these people on anything. It's all propaganda. I don't need Orban to be saint, Charlemagne, or anything else. But it's propaganda what they're saying against him. And even now, some traditional Catholics are jumping on the blanket party against Orban because they saw something on TV. When this guy poses a serious threat to the entire New World Order project, we might want to back him, or at least find out what he does stand for.
Dear friends, this victory may well be remembered till the end of our lives, because we had to face the toughest opponents yet, the left at home, the international left all around us, Brussels bureaucrats, all the organizations and money of the Soros Empire, the international mainstream media, and finally even the president of the Ukraine.
And again, incredibly, it's not just the left. It's folks in our own camps, even traditional Catholics. They've been attacking this show for asking questions about COVID and about Ukraine, what's going on over there. And now they've added Orban lover to their list of grievances against us. I don't care. I mean, I can handle it. But it's terrifying for our movement, for the future, when even the good guys can't see what's going on here. I mean, these good guys, these critics of this show, did they go to Hungary? They travel to Hungary? Speak to the Hungarian Catholics on the ground to see what's really going on there, as I did in 2019? I went to Budapest. I went to Hungary. I talked to these people. And guess what? I didn't notice any Nazi goose-stepping going on in the streets of Budapest. In fact, it was Viktor Orban, whose terror museum, very controversial, was set up to decry the horrors both of Nazism and Soviet communism in Hungary. Check this out.
Michael Matt for Remnant TV. We're here at 60 Andrássy Street, which is a museum that they call the Museum of Terror. So if you look behind me, this building here is where the political prisoners, mostly Catholics and Jews, would have been taken. It was Viktor Orban who, as prime minister during his first term, set up this museum, which is this Museum of Terror. They have, you know, images of an arrested Cardinal Joseph Menzenti. They declared war on the church, Joseph Menzenti. Private property was nationalized. Travel was not free. Nobody knows who's entitled to get a passport and who is not. Does that sound familiar? Their goal was to fully annihilate intellectual independence. Well, that's, we see that on social media. Dissidents were kept under surveillance and were persecuted, and their lives were being made impossible under surveillance. We're all under surveillance 24/7 now, even from satellites. There were no free elections. So you think what's happening with Trump right now? And they found themselves under an occupation, exactly like what's happening to us.
And by the way, before you jump to condemn this as more KGB propaganda, you might be interested to find out that Viktor Orban's terror museum is full of relics of martyred priests and bishops, such as Cardinal Menzenti, their chasubles, their chalices, their crucifixes. Incredibly pro-Catholic in how they present, you know, what happened to the Hungarian people. So that's what's going on the ground in Hungary. If you go there, you'll find that out. And you'll speak to people who are very happy with the way things are going. You know, and he's pro-family. He's encouraging large families, encouraging marriage, encouraging Christianity in Hungary. But here we go. All you're going to hear is that Viktor Orban is a racist, probably a rapist. He's certainly a Nazi. He's a fascist freak. And how do you know? Well, because they said so on TV. Yep. You see how it works, friends? You see how important it is that we don't get sucked into this? You see how important it is that we keep on swimming upstream? Keep using our brains, keep asking questions? Because this is all a lie. No matter what they're talking about on TV right now, it's a lie. From COVID now to Hungary and Viktor Orban. In reality, there's good news, friends, in Eastern Europe tonight. You can be happy. Your prayers have been answered. Because a pro-Christian, yes, he's a flawed human being like the rest of us are. But at the end of the day, this guy Orban is a pro-Christian, pro-family guy who's held on to power, at least for the moment, by defending the borders of Hungary, by defending nationalism in a good sense, by defending the rights of God and the Christian society. And if you've got a problem with that, I'm sorry to say, friends, you might not have to worry about it too much longer if we don't stop this, if the world doesn't wake up, which I believe it is waking up right now. But you got a problem with Orban and things don't change and you continue to support the current thing, just wait a little while longer. Close your mouth, shut down your mind, float down the stream, and they'll get rid of him. They got rid of Salvini in Italy with the Pope's help, didn't they? They got rid of Donald Trump with the Pope's help, didn't they? And sooner or later, they'll get rid of a guy like Viktor Orban. And then I wonder where we'll be.